All right, brethren, if you will, turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Last week we looked at verse 16. I'd like to read that again. Our text is going to be from verse 19 to the end of the chapter, but 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought, out of that debt of gratitude, to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's this world's good, knowing that. Knowing that He laid down His life for us. Verse 17. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So many preachers around the world whip people with that verse. You got to share your money, witnessing and giving. Sharing temporally, yes. If I have food on my table, and one of my brothers or sisters in Christ is starving to death, and for me not to give them a biscuit or an ear of corn or a piece of meat, the love of God's not in me if I don't do that. Yes, temporally we share those things. The Lord gave us those things. But spiritually, if we have this good news, if we know Christ, and we see somebody in true need, sinners in need of repentance, sinners in need of a Savior, and we don't tell them, we have no interest in telling, oh, I'm better than them. They don't need to know. They're not smart enough to understand it. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. It's not just say that we do these things, but in deed, temporally, in action, and in truth, in sharing that word of God about Christ, who He is, what He's accomplished. That's true giving. And verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. Now, what makes us know that we are of the truth? In John 18, Christ said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. We know we're of the truth, and we have assurance in our hearts because we hear Christ's voice in our new man, in that new spirit born in us. Christ has given us the Holy Spirit of God. He's created a new man in our hearts. And by that irresistible grace that He has, He makes us hear His voice and He makes us obey Him. Turn over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. When Christ speaks to that new man in us, He successfully makes us obey His commandment to believe Him. Here in John 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Those that are truly dead, sinners, graveyard dead, that are His, they shall hear. It's going to happen. And that once they're made to hear, they shall live. Now turn over to John chapter 15. And if you got two markers in your Bible, leave a marker here around John 15. We're going to go back and forth quite a bit today because we remember that epistle that John wrote at 1 John, he's telling us the things that he learned in this Gospel of John when he was with the Master, and he's experienced this. In 1 John 15, when Christ speaks to the new man in us, he makes us obey his commandment to love our brethren. 15:9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. How did Christ love us? Look there in verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. He has laid down his life for us. We are called the friends of God. Now these two things make up God's commandment, which we hear and we obey by the voice of Christ speaking effectually in our hearts. And that new heart he's given us by the Holy Spirit. We believe Christ and we love our brethren. Now back to our text there, 1 John. 1 John 3, let's look at verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now Christ's voice spoken into our new hearts, he makes his people lay down their lives for his sake and the gospel's sake, by making us believe on Christ and love Christ and our brethren who he bought. And verse 18 there says, love in deed and truth. How do we do that? How are we to love in deed and in truth? We believe on Christ and love our brethren in deed and truth by abandoning all our works as we confess Christ publicly. And we unite with our brethren under the gospel. We believe on Christ and love one another in deed and in truth by ending all of our attempts at saving ourselves by works. And we rest in Christ through faith alone. We believe on Christ and love our brethren in deed and truth by bearing persecution for declaring the gospel, for believing Christ, declaring who he is and what he accomplished on the cross. And that comes through our families, our friends, the world, whoever. We bear that. We believe on Christ and love our brethren in deed and truth by continuing to assemble together with them under the preaching of the gospel. We unite under that faithful preaching of the gospel. And together, forsaking all, forsaking our pride, to meet together, forsaking our feelings to meet together, because there's one thing needful. We unite under that, under the preaching of the gospel, the truth of Christ, and together we send out that gospel. We tell others about it. We support missionaries and have different means that the Lord's provided for us to broadcast the gospel in any way we can. We believe on Christ and love our brethren in deed and truth by bearing the burdens of our brethren, those that are overtaken in a fault, and we restore them. And we restore them by pointing them back to Christ. And we wait on him to do the work to chasten their hearts. Verse 19, 1 John 3:19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Our confidence that we are of the truth is by Christ speaking into that inner man, keeping us believing on him, keeping us loving him, him keeping us loving our brethren by unity with Christ and by the Spirit that he's given us. How is that possible? In this old corrupt heart, this wicked man that I am, how does he do that? How does he keep me? He's greater than this old heart. Look there in verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now there's an application here. Remember, John's telling us, showing us a difference for the last several verses from chapter 2. Difference between the child of the devil and the child of God. He's contrasting those here. And at this point, we can see that there's application to that child of the devil there. If a person's heart is somewhat condemned, if they feel a little bit bad, and they're never made to repent from the Lord, the Lord never makes them believe on Christ, they prove that they're a child of the devil. In that case, if a man's heart is truly condemned in him, he would know that God's greater than his heart is. God knows all things about him. He may ignore his conscience, but he cannot ignore God. But John here is assuring believers, and he's comforting believers. That's who he's speaking to. And we know and are assured that we are of the truth because God is greater than our hearts. There in verse 20, that if could be translated when. For when our hearts condemn us. Every sinner born of God hears these things. That the true child of God believes on Christ and loves the brethren in deed and in truth. Our heart will condemn us of that. But at times, our heart condemns us because our faith is so weak. And we know that we don't love as we should. We know we don't believe as we should. We don't look to Christ as we should. But hereby know we are the truth. How? How so? Our hearts condemn us. That new man in us condemns us. If we were a child of the devil, we wouldn't care. We might feel a little bit bad. It wouldn't haunt us. Oh, I haven't leaned on the Lord today like I ought to have. Oh, I haven't trusted Him. Why would I be so foolish to think that He's not going to provide temporal things or spiritual things for me? Heart condemns you. I didn't treat my brother the way I should have treated him. Oh, I wished I wouldn't have said that. I worded something wrong. And just, you ever lost sleep at night worrying that you might have said something wrong to one of your brethren? Heart's condemning you. If you're a child of the devil, you wouldn't care. And the heart of the child of God condemns us. God our Father is rebuking us in loving correction. There in Hebrews 12 it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Now we're prone to accuse the preacher when our heart condemns us. I've done that. There have been several messages I've heard sitting in a congregation, and I go to my pastor in that back door as he's walking out, and I say, "You turned them cameras back on in my house again, didn't you? You've been watching me." But if the message blesses our heart correctly, we praise God, don't we? Oh, if we're filled up and blessed, we said, "Oh, the Lord gave a good message today." But if it condemns us, we're oftentimes look to getting on to the one that told us about it. How should we do that? How should we react to that? The one that lifts us up is the same one that brings us down. If the word's being preached in truth, according to the Word of God, if we are a true child of God, then it's God condemning us in our hearts. He's the one that's greater in our hearts. It's not me. I'm not the one pruning you. His word. I don't have cameras in your house. I ain't got enough time to watch you to know what to say to pick on you. You little ones, I watch you. I may be getting after you. Let's turn over to John chapter 15. He prunes his children. John 15, verse 1. Christ is speaking here. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." He's the one that tends to the vine. Verse 2. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it." He purges it. He prunes it. "That it may bring forth more fruit." At our home, I'm learning not to brag about this because I've been to Mike and Karen's house. But I've got two tomato plants growing in the desert. I'm pretty proud of that. But when those tomato plants first started growing, I went out and I pruned those tomato plants. I watched the main shoots go up, and I saw the suckers coming off and those shade leaves that don't bear fruit. And I went through and I pruned them. And I left what I wanted to leave. And there was just about as much tomato plant laying on the ground when I got done as there was still standing. You thought I killed it. But now we got plenty of fruit. It brings forth more fruit than it would if I didn't trim it. Now who trims us? The husbandman, not the branches. The whole time I trimmed the tomato plants, not once did I see a true branch that had little flowers on it, it's going to bear tomatoes, reach down and cut off a sucker. It doesn't trim itself. And those suckers and those shade leaves don't remove themselves. The husbandman does. We're pruned by him. When our Heavenly Father chastens us, the Hebrew writer told us, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness in them that are exercised thereby. Chastening's never fun, but it's needful. And afterwards we see the fruit that it bears. Our Heavenly Father knows what His child needs. Now when we begin looking to ourselves, when we start looking to our own branch, and we start looking at those branches around us, we start putting our faith in our faith, or we start putting our assurance in our love. Well, I'm assured because I love how my love is. Then God prunes us to increase our faith and our love in Christ alone. He keeps us looking only to Christ and keeps us loving Christ and love our brethren in deed and in truth. What a blessing that God our Father makes our conscience condemn us, to turn us from ourselves and turn us to Christ and to His people, to our brethren. And He only does that to the ones He loves. And once our heart condemns us, we're pointed to Christ. Then there's relief. Is that relief? Have you ever had that happen? There's relief when that happens. You're in a heavy trial and you look into yourself and you're looking around you, and then you're made to look to Him. Whew. Well, now you can breathe. This don't matter, does it? Our conscience stops troubling us during that trial. I wrote that and then I went back as I read through and I underlined it. It's going to happen again. But during that trial, we have comfort, don't we? Why? Our heart condemns us not. Look here in verse 21. Back in our text, 1 John 3, verse 21. 1 John 3:21, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Another way God assures our hearts is by purging our conscience. When we hear these things concerning faith in Christ and love the brethren, and our heart condemns us not, but we're comforted, it's because we have communion with Christ. We have that co-union. We're made one with Him. We're made aware of that communion with Him, and we're comforted. The only way a sinner keeps his commandments by believing on Christ, loving the brethren, is by the Spirit of God purging our conscience with the blood of Christ. We believe on Christ and love our brethren by Christ being in us and us being in Him, by being made one with Him. That's unity. Note there in verse 24 it says, And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. You don't have to turn there, but Christ says in John 15:3, Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. What does that bring us to? It brings us to prayer, doesn't it? Be turning to Hebrews chapter 10. By having our conscience purged by the Lord, that we've kept Christ's commandments, we have boldness at His throne of grace and prayer. We have boldness to come to Him. He said in our text, "Our beloved, if your hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God." Look here in Hebrews 10, verse 18. "Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way." What's that new and living way? Well, the old way was my approaching, my righteousness, me coming on my merit. Now it's that blood of Christ. That's the new way, different than what I come up with, and it's the living way. That's where life is. "By the new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say, His flesh, "and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Then in our text there, John says, "And whatsoever ye ask, we receive of Him." Why? Because we're made one with Christ. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We saw there from verse 24, we only do that when Christ dwells in us and us in Christ. Meaning, because we are in communion with Him. We're made one with Him. We turn to John 14. Believers keeping the commandments of Christ in no way merits favor to answer our prayer. That's so many people. We've looked at this before. They have these prayer chains and these big gatherings together to pray, to force God to do something they want. That's a mutiny. They're putting Him in a chicken wing and bending His arm, making Him say, "Uncle," to do what they want. But God approves of the things that are done in faith, from a heart of love and with a heart for His glory. And He shows His approval by granting our desires, by answering our prayers. Look here in John 14, verse 12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." He said, "Now the works that I do, you're going to do. And those that believe on me, you're going to do what I do." What did Christ do? Honored the Father. He said, "Not my will, but your will be done." Look in verse 20. John 14, 20. And at that day ye shall know, that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keep them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him." They're going to dwell in him. So it's by God the Father and Jesus Christ abiding, aboding, living in us, that we're able to keep His commandments, believing on Christ and loving our brethren. That's the reason we're able. And He shows us His approval by granting our prayer, giving us boldness to come to His throne of grace. Now many think that that's a blank check. We do come with our Father with everything. But prayer is submission to the Lord, isn't it? Oftentimes I went to pray for something. As I'm making a feeble attempt at praying, quickly I'm shown that whatever I'm asking for doesn't matter. And I say, Lord, Your will be done. But He gives us boldness to come. But the truth is, when we're in this state of communion, so we believe on Christ, we're loving our brethren, the only thing we ask is that the Father's will is accomplished. And it will be. It's answered. When we believe on Christ and love our brethren by having communion with Him, we ask that our needy brethren who are condemned in their conscience be restored. We pray for our brethren to be pointed back to Christ. That's us believing on Christ to do it. And that's loving our brethren by praying for Him to do it. Asking Him to be the one to do it. And He shows His approval of faith and love by restoring our brethren, because that's already His will. He's going to do it. It's only when our sin nature gets a hold of us that our communion's interrupted. That unity with Christ is interrupted. But it's only interrupted, it's only disturbed on our side. He still abides in us, but we're the ones that start looking to our flesh, trying to find assurance in our faith, trying to find assurance in our love, looking for assurance in ourselves, rather than in Christ who gives it and who sustains it, who keeps it. So He chastens us, condemning our conscience. But thankfully, our brethren, those that are in communion with Him, they're praying for the same thing we just prayed for. Lord, Kevin's down. Lift him up. He will. He's going to do that, isn't He? That's His will to do so. And He answers their prayer by doing what He was already planning on doing. Accomplishing His will. By this never-ending faithfulness and love on God's part to do His will towards His people, Christ keeps us all His children, believing on Him, coming to that throne of grace, coming to that throne of mercy, and loving our brethren by our prayers for one another. And this is done by God the Holy Spirit in us. Look there in verse 24, 1 John 3:24. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Hereby we know we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. It's because we keep His commandments and believe in Him, loving our brethren. And we do so because we dwell in Him and He dwells in us. And hereby we know that we abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Turn over to John 14 and we'll close. We hear Christ's voice speaking in our inner man by the Spirit which He's given us. And this abiding presence of the Holy Spirit's not the special gift of God belonging only to a select few. This isn't something that only happens to the top 10% of the believers, or the real strong elder believers. Those that aren't sheep, they're rams. It's not just for them. This special gift of God is common to all His elect, to every one of us. In John 14, 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him. For He dwelleth with you, and ye shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall also live. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He's going to make His children know that. That He abides with us, that we're one with Him. Through that cycle of trials, our heart condemning us, our heart being fulfilled. It's like a heart pumps now, it squeezes and lets go. And then John tells us there, 1 John, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Have you experienced that? Do you know that He abides in you? Has He made His comfort come to you that you shall know Him? Have you been through trials where you looked to yourself and just felt so miserable you couldn't stand it and you returned? You were comforted by looking to Him alone? Then you know. You have assurance. And it's nothing here. It's nothing the world sees. It's in Him. He's our assurance. Isn't that something? I hope that gets you through this week. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we walk around this world and are so concerned with the things around us, Lord, turn our attention to things above. As we struggle watching the news and watching the trials around us, Lord, comfort us. Soothe our hearts by making us look to Christ, making us see what He's accomplished for His people, making us see that He abides in us. Lord, give us that comforter to look to Him, to convict us of our sins, and to teach us Christ Jesus our Lord. Point us towards Him, Lord. Give us the strength to encourage our brethren, to love them, to pray for them. And we know that You will comfort them. What an assurance we have in our Redeemer. Lord, thank You. Forgive us our sin. Forgive us for what we are, Lord, and keep us. Keep Your children to that day we're made like Him, conceived face to face. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.